I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla, producing single rose like flowers continually from June to the first frost.
My thanks to this week's sponsor, Wetman Pinks of Dawlish in Devon. Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange some of the latest news, views and a bit of timely advice on all things gardening. Later, I'll be chatting to Chris Harrop, OBE, the Group Sustainability Director at Marshalls, the landscape materials manufacturer. Goodness, our gardening world seems to have come alight. I've never known anything like it. I mean, the latest roundup I have tells me that in Holland, Germany, Belgium, and now that the garden centres are open here in Britain, everybody seems to have gone gardening mad, and there's a shortage of planting material. Even in America, I'm told, it's exactly the same situation. I suppose inevitably, if we're stuck at home and the weather's as good as it's been the last 2 months really here in Britain, then it's inevitable that we're going to be tidying up and appreciating having a garden to potter into. I hear that Farplants, one of the big nursery producers on the West Sussex coast, were trading at just 15% of normal. Really terribly difficult times for them. And then within days, up 50% in a week, they tell me. Other good news too, I hear that A. Hill and Sons of Stokesley up in North Yorkshire celebrate 100 years of trading this year. They have 35 acres in production and third and fourth generation Hills still working away producing nursery stock. I know Stokesley only too well, and that lovely hill riding up behind it, Rosebery topping. Yeah, I have very fond recollections to that North Yorkshire area. Other really good news too is the message that public gardens can now open. I was very pleased to hear Sue Biggs of the Royal Horticultural Society on Gardeners Question Time last Sunday say that she was optimistic that gardens would open in early June, and now apparently the government has given the go-ahead, although it looks as if there may have to be timed booking. You'll have to get a set time when, as a member of the RHS, you go to visit one of their four gardens. I await to hear the details, and certainly can't wait to get Hyde Hall open, because we hope on the 4th and 5th to start cladding our pyramid that was to be the Chelsea Flower Show exhibit, and we will have a real Chelsea Flower Show display on that weekend, the 6th of June. It looks as if we're going to have 20 new plant launches. Several really good new roses have suddenly come out of the woodwork, and I can't wait to see four new Florabundas in the Precious series. I'm told that if that was a flowering shrub, people would fall over themselves because the precious series will just keep on repeat flowering, the perfect summer bedding plant. And I hope to get several that we can trial alongside the florist series, all coming from the breeder Noack in Germany, who has introduced some very disease-resistant, stunning roses. Now, when it comes to advice, I was interested to read on a local app the discussions about climbing courgettes. One of the people in the street was asking if anybody had a few short canes to support their courgettes. And then there was hot debate saying you don't need canes to support courgettes, they're bush. Well, of course, there's an exception to every rule, isn't there? And in the case of courgettes, we have the cultivar Black Forest, which does, well, not really climb, but it grows on quite a tall stem to about a metre or a metre and a half. I often chat about new varieties of things, and at the Floral Fantasia area at Hyde Hall, we had lots of new introductions planted last summer. And goodness, several of them this year, in their second season, are really doing their stuff. I've mentioned before, and I make no apology for mentioning again, the catmint, Nepeta Persian Blue, spelt as in cats purring, P-U-R-R, Persian Blue. That is a fantastic plant. I think we planted three originally, and they grow very compact, are very free-flowering. And unlike the Six Hills Giant and the other catmints, you know, that tend to be very sprawly and straggly and all over the place, Persian Blue stays beautifully erect. And the bees absolutely love it. Best of all, when it's finishing flowering, if you shear it really hard back, give it a bit of water and feed, up it comes again and still stays really compact and gives you a mass of colour. They really are fantastic things. We have them alongside several of the daylilies that are called everyday lily. They're in several colours and goodness, do they flower. When we planted last summer after BBC Gardeners World Live show, there were quite a range of new herbaceous plants. Alstroemerias, for example. They're just coming into flower now for the second time. The Indian series, Indian Summer, Indian Sky, Indian Breeze. Goodness, do they grow and flower. And daylilies. The name Everyday Lily says it all. They formed really big clumps and they flower for week after week after week. There are some really exciting things coming along.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming up, my interview with Chris Harrop. Chris is the Group Sustainability Director at Marshalls, who manufacture landscape materials. I got Chris to spell out what sustainability can mean. and we talked about judging new products at the Chelsea Flower Show. I also asked him about a big trip that he'd made. However, my first question was about three letters at the end of his letterhead. Chris, we've known one another for quite a long time, and you have an OBE, but I've never really asked why. How did you get it?
Hi, Peter. Yeah, I got my OBE for services to the prevention of modern slavery and labour exploitation. And you know, I think it's probably as a result of what's now 15 years worth of work that started looking at child labour and bonded labour in India for the production of sandstone and sandstone paving, and then expanded into other areas that marshals look to procure stone to make sure, again, there's no child labour, there's no modern slavery. So whether that be in Vietnam or in Turkey or in China. And latterly in the UK, I mean, you know, the frightening statistics are that in the UK, there's 136,000 people subject to modern slavery conditions. So in the last, certainly the last few years, we've been doing a lot of work in identifying where modern slavery exists in the construction, garden, landscape sector, finding it and fixing it.
Goodness. Well, I didn't expect that answer, Chris. Those are unbelievable statistics, yeah. Because marshals will be a very big player, won't they, in the hard landscaping world?
Marshals can trace its history all the way back to 1880 when Solomon started in a quarry in South Arum in West Yorkshire. All throughout the UK, we are the largest hard landscaping manufacturer and importer of stone. And therefore, it is incumbent upon us to make sure that everything we do is done to the highest possible standard, whether that's the ethics of sourcing or issues of climate change for the production of concrete products in the UK.
Right. Your title, Sustainability Director, really is quite unusual, isn't it? I can't think that I've come across it anywhere else.
Sustainability is one of those words that is kind of bandied around but not really fully explained. And the way that I look at it for marshals is that, you know, our job is to help create better spaces, to kind of put products and services into the landscape, into people's gardens and driveways that are as good as possible for the environment. So they have the least carbon footprint from an environmental perspective. They help stop flooding, and that they are produced and sourced as ethically as possible. So now my job is to make sure that all of those things are in place for all of the products that anybody would buy for their driveway, their garden, and then any public sector and commercial schemes would do for town centres or car parks, public spaces in, you know, the rest of the country.
Goodness, that's some responsibility. What do you think the general public want today?
I'm in week 11 of lockdown, and you know, I spent a lot of time at home. Marshalls did a survey very recently, and the numbers and the figures are very clear that people get a huge benefit out of their garden spaces. So, you know, we're all spending a lot more time in our gardens. 80% of people are spending a lot more time in their garden. And the number one thing that they're doing in their garden is gardening. It's growing fruit and vegetables as the kind of key thing that people are looking to do, because it links through to making them feel better. You know, when we asked people, you know, give us one word that tells us about how being in their garden makes them feel, relaxed is the number one, happy, peaceful, calm, energized, contented. Gardening has a huge impact on mental health and improvement of mental health. I mean, it was Mental Health Awareness Week last week, and gardening has a huge role to play in that.
So when you did that survey, I mean, did you ask a whole series of questions then, as well as what gardening does for you?
We were asking people how much time they were spending in their garden, whether that was more or less than they had pre-COVID-19, what they were doing in their garden, what they'd like to do in their garden, how being in their garden makes them feel. Has it inspired them to do anything different in their garden? What has it inspired them to do in their garden?
Have you got any figures on that?
Well, and the interesting thing, you know, it's planting and gardening and growing fruit and vegetable. And that's about 54% of people were saying that that was the thing that they'd been inspired through the lockdown to do in their garden. The number one is about growing, closely followed by, you know, having a space to relax in.
And in practice, if you're fairly new to it, growing your own in containers on hard landscaping is probably the easiest way to start, isn't it?
It is. And Peter, you and I have been judging new products for the RHS at the Chelsea Flower Show. I think this is our 10th year this year. And this year's winner was specifically growing your own and allowing people to grow fruit and vegetables anywhere. So whether it's a container on a patio or on a balcony in the middle of a city. And I did a quick look through some of our previous winners, and it's been a theme that we've followed through the years. And you probably remember the potato pot that we also judged. I think that was back in 2015.
I certainly remember that because it's been updated in design, and I've got a trial going on my bit of hard landscaping out by the back door with the original pot and another one. And there's just been a judge by the public, hasn't there, on this year's new product. The general public voting didn't really take the criteria of innovative in the potting bench winning the vote.
I think the voting reflected what the people for visiting the Chelsea Flower Show and the online virtual world this year were looking to do. You know, they are keen, enthusiastic gardeners, and that was it's a fantastic piece of furniture that allows people to pot up and plant. So you know, it's a very good. I think when we were judging for a wider sense, we're looking at that level of innovation and universality, so that anybody, whether they are in the city, the suburbs, and urban rural areas, can get into gardening and tap into growing their own fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, and both you and Deborah Meaden are very keen on the sustainability aspect of the products, where they come from, if they're UK manufactured, and whether they're sensible for the environment.
Yeah, one of the other things I do as kind of part of my role is I'm also chair of Made in Britain. And so, you know, it's always good to see good innovation and then that innovation being manufactured in the UK. You know, from a sustainability perspective, you know, we want to see products made in the UK as close to market as possible, with the right, you know, people treated in the right way, with the right rights, labour rights and human rights. All of these issues are around sustainability of businesses and of society and of the planet.
It's a tough competition to judge, though, isn't it? I think this year we had Twool, which sells for, was it $2.99? Right up to a really lovely designed three-way seat, which was nearly 7,000, I think. So it's not an easy competition to judge, is it?
No, and the pre-judging that we do to get the shortlist down to where you and Deborah sit down to go through the kind of the 10 or 11, generally, you know, the number of entries over the years has varied between 40 and 50 entries, spanning all sorts of different products that people would use in the garden. So it's a difficult process, and the criteria that we use around sustainability, ergonomics, innovation, value for money, you know, that those are really important.
You've had an unfortunate bout of cancer, I think, but then went to the North Pole, is that right?
Yeah, as part of my kind of desire to be an advocate for climate change, I was planning to ski to the North Pole to look at the depth of the ice and to almost experience myself the changes that were going on. But and as part of the
just a minute to ski to the North Pole.
Yeah, that was my original plan, and you know, my wife insisted that I had a medical before I set out, and that medical then discovered that I had a form of leukemia. So that put back my trip to the North Pole a few years. But, in 2017, April the 13th, I got there, finally got to the North Pole, stood at the North Pole. And actually, it was probably worse than I thought it was going to be. The ice was very, very thin. In fact, that trip hasn't been possible since because of the thickness of the ice not being enough for kind of either landing or standing and skiing over. And it just shows how climate change is real and it's affecting the planet and therefore it's affecting us and everything we do. Food security, enjoyment, weather. You know, in the UK, we have mass floods and then we have periods of great dry. I mean, it's not really rained throughout this whole lock-in. And before that, we had huge floods. So it's changing our weather patterns, which is changing what we can grow in our gardens, how we can enjoy our outdoor spaces. You know, climate change is real and we need to get hold of the issue and start to tackle it. And you know, I'm really proud to say that one of the things that Marshalls has done is there's an organisation that sits alongside the UN called Science Based Targets. And that enables every business to work out their contribution to achieving the below the 2 degree or the 1.5 degree target for warming and exactly what they have to do by when to help achieve that target. And Marshalls set a target and have had that target approved. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that our operations and all of our products and everything that we do around our products is minimising impact on climate change and doing our part.
Chris, when I started this conversation, I didn't really expect to hear what a wide approach you're taking to this whole sustainability thing. But to bring it right back to our own back gardens, if I was listening to this and was planning to do a bit of garden redesign and construction, where should I go?
I think if you're planning to do some work in your garden, I think the most important thing to do is get a trained professional. And that's really important because if I think back to kind of my other comments around modern slavery, you know, there is one of the areas that is targeted at by criminal gangs. So the thing I would recommend is to always seek out a trained professional. At Marshalls, we have the Marshalls Register of Approved Landscapers. You can look at that through, you know, find a register member through our website, marshalls.co.uk. They've also all been trained and are aware of what to look at in terms of modern slavery. So if they see anything as they're out and about, they're able to spot it and report it. But I think then, you know, it's also incumbent upon us all to think about the products that we're putting in our garden. So whether that's the ethics of the stone, so make sure that stone has been produced, you know, without child labour, without modern slavery, that the climate change impact of the products that we put in there are as low as possible. We've been product carbon footprinting all of our products for over, well, nearly 15 years now, actually, to make sure that they're as low as they can possibly be. And you know, think about all of the things that you want to do in your garden. If it's a space for you to grow fruit and vegetables for you to eat, you want it to be as healthy as possible. And if it's a space for you to relax and refresh and clear your mind, then you want to make sure it's as well designed and as peaceful as possible.
Chris, it's very good to speak to you today. Thank you very much for all that you're doing. And I wish you well in every respect and especially in the health respect. Look forward to speaking to you very soon.
It's very kind of you, Peter. Thank you very much. And let's try and encourage as many people as possible to get out in their gardens and enjoy them.
I had quite a pleasing email from Anne Marie this week. And she said, just wanted to let you know how much I'm enjoying your podcasts, have recently discovered them and being a total glutton, feasting on them. You are perfect company while in the greenhouse and when preparing dinner. The last 6 years as garden designer, my home garden has been rather neglected, but the lockdown has given me time to put things to right. Well, Anna Marie, it was a very encouraging to get your message. Sitting here on my own, talking to myself in the polytunnel, seems to be a bit strange, and sometimes you wonder whether there's anybody out there at the other end. My tailpiece for this week comes from Michael Powell in The Accidental Gardener. He says, Did you know that ducks are natural predators of slugs? As the old saying goes, if you have too many slugs, the chances are you have a deficiency of ducks. That reminds me of my grandfather's experience. As a child, I remember somebody in the village telling my granddad that if he let ducks loose in the vegetable garden, they would see off all the slugs. And so he did just that, and the ducks cleared two rows of his peas. I'm not sure whether they ate any of the slugs or not, but he lost all his peas that year. So you need to be careful with some of these old adages. They don't always work. Well, I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Enjoy the sunshine and all the early summer flowers. Gardens really are a joy at present. My thanks to this week's sponsor, Wetman Pinks, Dawlish in Devon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.